Proverbs 22. I'll let you find it, and then I've got a couple things to say, and then we'll read the well-known sixth verse. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Read it with me, will you? I'll give the reference. Let's all read it out loud together. Here we go. Proverbs 22, 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Father, help us, I ask now, in these next few minutes, as we look at this wonderful passage of Scripture, may we learn from it, and may our lives be impacted by it, I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You can be seated. Is Proverbs 22:6 just a feel-good general statement or promise, but is it a specific statement by which we can train or teach our children? Well, it really is sad to me that Proverbs 22:6 has been considered controversial. And Proverbs 22:6 has been, I think, under great attack. And unfortunately, not just by forces in the world, but by good people. I think people who mean well and who intend what's right, but who, in my thinking, are nevertheless mistaken anyway. Proverbs 22:6 says, if you train up a child in the way he should go, that when he's old, he'll still be going that way. Now, it can't mean anything other than what it says. It can't. Well, somebody says, yes, but isn't it a book of general promises? That is, the proverbial sayings. Well, that's true. And Bible teachers tell us that from chapter 10 through chapter 22, about verse 16, that there are 375 general promises or general proverbs or general statements that are given to us. However, in the Proverbs, common sense would tell you what the proverb means. Now, there are some proverbs that can't be held to be true in every case. It's no problem with the authority of the Scriptures. They are just general statements. If I said, for example, in Ohio, most people love Ohio State. Or suppose I said, in Ohio, people love Ohio State. Well, you would say that that has a limit, because I talked to a person this morning that is a Michigan fan. Now, I know that's sad. I know it's sad, but it's true. I talked to a person. So you could say, well, generally, people in Ohio are for Ohio State. I can understand that statement. However, Proverbs 22:6 is not a general statement. If it doesn't mean what it says, it can't mean anything. Suppose I said to you, look, I've got some wonderful news for you. Look, you got children? Okay, let me tell you a wonderful truth. If you will just train up your children in the way they should go, then when they are old, good luck. See, it can't mean that. It doesn't say that. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Well, yes, you say, Brother Bill, but what about this general statement in Proverbs? Well, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. And look at verse 7. Now, it's not the substance of this verse I want you to see. I just want you to see how we can take this verse as true. All right, here we go. Proverbs 11:7. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. And the hopes, the word hope usually means expectation, and the hopes of unjust men perisheth. Okay, now, do you think I could say, without question, when a wicked man dies, his hope perishes? Do you think I could say that? Well, do you? Do you think I could say, and the hope of unjust man perishes. You think I could say that? You think that's true in every case? Yeah, but it's a proverb. It's a proverb. Suppose I said, okay, now, generally speaking, when an unjust or wicked man dies, his hopes die. Now, that's only generally speaking, because it's a proverb. And so, generally, I would say, when a wicked man croaks, his expectations die with him. But I wouldn't say it's a promise. Well, that would be silly, wouldn't it? Well, wouldn't it? All right. How do you know that when the Bible says, when a wicked man dies, his hope dies with him, and the expectations of an unjust man, they perish? How would you know that it means what it says? Well, because you have a brain. And because you know what the Bible teaches elsewhere. So you know it can't mean anything else. All right, let's use Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, how can that possibly mean anything other than what it means? Well, you say, but Brother Rice, I know a man and his wife who had three children, and they brought them to church every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, and the kids were in daily vacation Bible school, and they went to camp, and they were in the Christian school, and they were great kids. And one of those kids is, she's married to a pastor, and another is a missionary in Lower Slobovia, and the third is in prison out in California. Do we know of situations like this? All right. Two problems with that. Number one, it's answered in the text. We'll get to that in a second. Number two, you're trying to determine what God says by experience rather than determining experience by what God says. So what God says is, train up a child in the way he should go. Now, the help in the two that turned out well and the third that turned out poorly is the Bible says, train up a child. It doesn't say train up children, because every child is different. How many of you have more than one child? Okay, are they not greatly different? If you have three, you have three different kids God gave to Mary and me, three. Now, there are similarities between the three, but there are great differences between our three children. In appearance, in personality, in size, whatever, there are differences in our three children. And every child is born a rebel. Is not this true? Do we not know this? Okay, so every child needs to be taken from where he is to where he needs to be. Every child. For example, suppose you have a child that's careless with the truth. And you have a child that's laid back, almost to the point of being lazy. Not necessarily lazy, but laid back, comfortable, all right? And suppose you're a real staunch person on the truth. You insist that your kids are always honest. So the child that has a tendency to lie will get help in your family, will he not? Because you're on top of this, hey, tell the truth, tell the truth, tell the truth, tell the truth. But suppose you yourself are a little laid back and you don't mind your child being casual. Well, he may need help or she may need help in getting at it and getting with the work, but she's not going to get it from you unless you see that this is where he is or she is and they need to be over here. You following this? So the deal, every child needs to go from where he is to where he needs to be. Plus, the scriptures are just replete with verses that say essentially the same thing as Proverbs. Let's look at a few, all right? Look at chapter 19. Chapter 19. Now, granted, this is in the proverbial section of Proverbs. Look at chapter 19. Look at verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope. Okay, now the word hope here does mean expectation. All right, chasten, discipline, in some cases punish. But chasten thy son while there is expectation, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Now let not thy soul spare for his crying is quite a statement. We won't deal with that this morning. But chasten thy son while there is expectation. Okay, expectation of what? In other words, train your child, teach your child while there is expectation. Now, obviously that would mean do it when he's younger, would it not? Because when he's older, it's all over but the shouting. So you start when he's younger, but expectation, okay? Chasten your child when there's expectation of what? Okay, I'm going to discipline my child. I'm going to beat my child. Forgive me, I'm being facetious here. I'm going to spank my child. I'm going to twist his ear. Why? Well, I'm not sure what the end result of that will be, but I'm going to do it anyway. Well, that would be foolhardy, would it not? What would the expectation be? Wouldn't the expectation be that if I chasten my child, he will turn out right? Wouldn't that be the expectation? I mean, it's the only possible thing it can mean. Look at 22:15. 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Okay, let's just stop right there. Is that undeniably true? Foolishness is abound in the heart of a child. Is that not true? All right. Now the second part of the verse. But the rod shall drive it far from him. Well, will it or won't it? Well, the passage says it will. Look at 23:13-14. Withhold not correction from thy child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, these are God's words, not mine. He shall not die. Now listen to this. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Look at Ephesians 6:4. Ephesians 6:4. See if you can find it here. And ye fathers, bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. This is a great passage. Hebrews chapter 12. The Christians in the early church were being mistreated and abused, in some cases martyred. And the question came up, wait a minute, if we've trusted Christ, if we're born again, if we're God's chosen, if we're in the family, why are we suffering this harm? Now, here's the answer from the author of Hebrews to these dear people. If ye endure chastening. Now, chastening would be training, teaching, but it would include punishment. We'll say spankings. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Now, let's stop. Christian, if you're being chastened, God is just dealing with you like a father would his sons. All right, then back to verse 7. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? In other words, don't all fathers chasten? Now, by the way, this is quite an indictment on 2019 America. Because obviously this statement had oomph in the first century. Look, if you endure chastening, God's just dealing with you as children. Because after all, what father does not chasten his children? Well, in our day and time, and in our culture, we could say, a lot don't. Could we not? But back in this day and time, obviously, basically, everyone chastened or taught or trained at some point, even disciplined or punished their children. But if ye be without chastisement, verse 8, chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Now, again, I didn't write this. God did. He said, look, Christians, if you're without chastening, then you're illegitimate. Because God chastens his children just like a dad would his. Now look down, if you would, at verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Let's stop. Is this not a statement of fact? No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. My father never said to me when he was going to spank me, "Now, Bill, this is not going to be enjoyable." Shock, I know, but it's not going to be enjoyable. It's going to be grievous. I'll tell you, the word grievous fit what it was, all right? So I knew that. Dad knew that. If the windows were open and you lived down the block, you knew that. Everybody knew that. Okay. No chasing for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Back to verse 11. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, the question is, does it or doesn't it? Does it result in the peaceable fruit of righteousness, yes or no? The Bible says it does. Now, in all fairness, he's not talking here primarily about our chastening our children. He's talking about God chastening us. However, he says, no chastening for the present is joyous but grievous. Well, he's talking about what you've experienced, both from Dad and from God. None of it is. So I would assume when he says, all of it results in the peaceable fruit of righteousness, that's exactly what he means. And by the way, for you Bible scholars out there, I have actually heard independent, Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist preachers say, even God lost some of his children. Have you ever heard this statement? It would be a reference to Judas or to Peter and his incorrect living. I'm telling you, that statement to me is close to blasphemous. God only had one begotten son, only one born son. So let me ask you, how did he turn out? This is ridiculous, this idea. Well, you cannot say that if you do right by your kids, they'll always turn out right. I most certainly can say that, and I can say it because the Bible says it, and you should say it too. Yes, that if you will bring up a child in the way he should go when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's important. See, and the reason the verse is under such attack is because it is so crucial. There's so much we learn from this verse. So let's back up at the verse again. Train up a child. The word train up there is the word dedicate. You probably know this. Dedicate your child. Here's the idea. Suppose I had a bow and arrow, and I wanted to put the spotlight out over there with my arrow. And suppose I were an accomplished archer. Is that the word? Okay. So I have a bow and I have an arrow. If I dedicate the arrow to that spot, and if I do a good job, now I only have the arrow for a short amount of time. Notice the distance between here and there. I only have the arrow for a short amount of time. But if I dedicate the arrow properly, it will take the light out, because when I let the arrow go, that's where it will go. Now that's what the Bible is saying. It's saying, look, dedicate or train up your children in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll still be going that way. That's the whole idea. It does not say, if you train up a child in the way he should go, he may veer off the path. He may get away from God. But praise God, later he will come back to the fold. Now, let me say this. Now, listen. I believe in revival. Do you? Okay, revival is a return to Bible truth. It is a return to Bible principle, and it is always fundamentally individual. The whole concept of a nation turning back to God is Israel. God does not deal with America as he did with Israel. He dealt with the nation. With us, he deals with individuals. Revival is always individual, and I believe in it. So if your child has strayed from the truth, I believe he can come back. That's true. But that is not what Proverbs 22:6 is saying. It's not saying if you dedicate this child, then you let the arrow go. It'll go out the back door. It'll go around the parking lot five times and over the building and come in the other door and come back and come down the aisle and then head to the light. Now, while I believe in revival, that is not what Proverbs 22:6 is talking about. The idea of Proverbs 22:6 is you train up, that is you dedicate with fences on this trodden path in Proverbs, the child in the way should go. And when he is old, he will still be going that same way. That's the whole idea. When he's old, he will still be going that way. He will not depart from it. That's the concept in the passage of Proverbs 22. Now, in Proverbs 22, this is a help. If your child is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, whatever his age, you should know where he is on the path. Because knowing where he is on the path will help determine where he'll wind up. See, the Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And that's talking about authority. That is, at marriage, a child comes out from under the authority of dad and mom, and he's joined to his wife, or she to her husband, and they two become one flesh. They're a new authority. They then have children. That's fine. But as long as the child you have is unmarried, he's under your authority and to some extent under your responsibility. And you are in the process of training the child. You're training the child in the way he should go. So the child wants to go this way. Yeah, but he can't because dad and mom are there. Then he wants to go this way. Yeah, but he can't because there's a fence that dad and mom keep. So you are training up a child in the way he should go, so that when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You following this? See, you're training him up in the way he should go, so that when he's old, he will still be going that same way. And it is, I'm gonna use the word, I don't like using this with Proverbs 22 because it's easily jumped on. It's a promise. Amen. Can't be anything else. It's a promise. You say, well, I don't believe Proverbs gives promises. Okay, let's just say it this way. It's true. It's true. Somebody says, you know, Proverbs, what is a proverb? A proverb is a wise saying. That's true, is it not? Okay, how wise is a saying if it's not correct? Not very wise. So Proverbs 22:6 tells us that if we do right when they're young, they'll end up right later. I love this statement. I've used it many, many times. An older preacher who still had children at home, he had six, was asked, do you think your children will turn out right? And he said, yes. And the questioner asked, what makes you think they will? And he said, because I'm turning them out. Now, I like that. They say, yes, but shouldn't God have a part in this? Well, yes, but when you're obeying God, you're doing exactly what God says and therefore what God can bless. Now, somebody says, well, you know, I can see this, Bill, until they get to be teenagers. Here's the problem, Bill. Maybe the Lord hadn't thought of this. You train up a child in the way he should go, but the problem is, and they turn 13. You know that word, T-E-E-N, 13. Oh, my goodness. When they turn 13, then it's just a battle. Because they have a mind of their own. They have a will of their own. They have ideas of their own. And they're very stubborn. You know what you're describing? A four-year-old. A man asked my father once, Dad had four children and then adopted a fifth. But when I was a small kid, there were four of us. And a man asked my father, do you have any stubborn children? He said, yes, I do. I have one really stubborn child. And he said, the other three are worse. Now, I won't tell you which group I was in, but I have thought of a lawsuit because I think I've been maligned by my father's statement. I'm not sure I've ever met a child that wasn't stubborn, if by that you mean willful. Now, granted, some kids are, you know, when they're little babies, they sleep all night. I know you didn't have any of those, but some people do have babies that sleep all night, and they're sweet, and they coo, and they love people, and they're instantly obedient and so on. I know that, but the heart of, look, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me, said the psalmist in Psalm 51. So they're sinners. And somebody says, well, but they rebel when they're 13, 14, 15. No. I'm serious about this. They rebel when they're 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. It's just that the rebellion didn't carry the weight that it will when they're 16. When they're 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, the rebellion can even be cute. And people will tell you that. See, for example, you've got a 3-year-old, and you say to the 3-year-old, do not go on the platform. Do not go on the platform. So the 3-year-old, he's a little boy, he comes up to the platform, and 20 people heard you tell him not go up on the platform. So he comes up like this, and he looks back over his shoulder, and he picks up a leg like this, and you say, don't go on the platform. And then you kind of turn around, and he picks up his leg like this, and somebody says, you, I'm telling you, that kid really has gumption. No, I like that. You know what I'm saying? I like that, because he's not going to have people pushing him around. Amen? Yeah, he's a real independent Baptist. I love this kid. And people are not going to tell him not to be on the platform, and they think that's cute. Here's the problem. When he's 16, it won't be don't go on the platform. It will be don't go out with that guy. It will be don't drink. It will be don't listen to rock music. It will be don't do drugs. And nobody's going to say, you know, your kid, you told him not to do drugs, but you know, he's got to, you know, I like that. I like that spunk. He did drugs anyway. What a great kid. You know what I'm saying? That kid's got a future. Yeah, he's got a future in prison. Okay, so the deal is, which was more of a rebel? The youngster who threatened to go on the platform or the youngster who threatened to do drugs? Are you following this? All right, so the deal is, it's a big deal when they threaten to go on the platform. You can't grab a 17-year-old and shake him and say, if you do that, you're going to get a paddling. I've often had people ask me, do you think you should spank teenagers? Well, the short answer is no, but it's done. Did you know that? It is done, it has been. I'm talking about worldwide. It is done. Whippings are common for adults. You know this, don't you? All right, now I'm not suggesting it. That's not my point at all. I'm saying, I remember the story of the admiral on the ship. And he said to the ensign, swab the deck. And shockingly, the ensign said, I'm not going to swab the deck. He said, son, swab the deck. And the ensign said, I didn't join the Navy to scrub decks. I joined the Navy to defend our country. And the admiral said, son, I understand what you're saying, but you are in the Navy and you are under authority and you will swab the deck. And the boy said, no, I won't. And the admiral, or the captain probably is what it was, said, son, through steely blue eyes, said the captain, you're right. I can't make you swab the deck, but I can and I will make you wish you had. So what did the captain do? Well, my guess is the kid swabbed the deck. But what would the captain have done had the kid not swabbed the deck? And the answer is simple, make him wish he had. Okay, how's that accomplished? Well, we're not into that just yet right now. Save to say, if you train up your child in the way he should go when he's old, you can trust God that he'll still be going that way. And you should know where your children are at all times. You know, I really think we ought to test our kids to see where they are. And I think making big things of seemingly small things for small children is easier and better and more successful than making big things of obviously big things with teenagers. And the answer to should we spank teenagers is really all your spanking should probably be finished with by 9 or 10. I don't think I was ever spanked after I was 10. I don't think I needed to be. I think the threat was, if you do that, this is the way Dad did it and Mother, this is a spanking matter. Spanking matter meant, if you do what I tell you not to do, you will be spanked. And my dad's deal when taking you to spank you was, did you think I would lie? So, like running in church. Running in church was a big deal in our home. You were not to run in church ever, ever. I don't know why. This is the truth. I do not know why. My dad never explained it. He never said you shouldn't run in church because they have speed limits. I have no idea why we weren't to run in church. He just said, Bill, do not run in church. And if you do, you'll be spanked. So I knew that if I ran in church, I would be spanked. What if I forgot? I would be spanked. What if I didn't mean to? I would be spanked. What if I ran to save the falling widow? I would be spanked. You didn't run in church. So here's the way my dad would do it. He'd be up here talking to the pastor. I can see my father as if this happened this morning. He's up here. I'm 9 years old. He's up here. He's talking to your pastor. He's talking to Brother Falls. By the way, I love Brother Falls. You do too, don't you? But I think it's a bit much to put your name on the back wall. Have you noticed that? I think this should be changed to Rice. So I'm just saying. Okay, all right. So he's up there talking to Pastor Falls. He's talking to Pastor Falls. They're talking, and I come running down the aisle, and this is what my dad would do, and this is exactly what he would do. He would say, Bill, come here, son. Did I tell you not to run in church? Yes, sir. Did I tell you it was a spanking matter? Yes, sir. Sit down. We'll take care of it in a few minutes. Then he'd go back to talking to Blair Falls, and they'd talk for another 2, 3, 4 hours, whatever. It'd be a long time. They'd be talking. Then after they were finished, we'd get in the car, and we would drive home about 1,050 miles home. We'd drive home in the car. Then we got home in the car. We'd go to the living room. My dad would come into the living room. He would sit down on a chair. He would take a belt. He would bend me over his right knee. He was right-handed. His left knee. He was right-handed. He'd put his right leg over my legs to keep my legs from getting scarfed. He would put his hand on the small of my back so that my gizzard, wherever that is in there, would not be harmed. And Mother would hold my hands so I wouldn't put my hands back and get my hand scarfed. You know, my mother lived to be 101, and for as long as my mother lived, I never did enjoy holding hands with Mother. Never. All right. She would hold my hands, and then Dad would take a belt. Now, I was raised in the 50s when the popular belt was like this. You remember these? They were usually white, and they were about a half inch. Remember these? No, you people don't, because you're a bunch of kids. All right. So they had belts like this. My dad wore a cowboy belt that was like this wide. It was like that. It was like a razor strap. And then my dad would spank until I was finished. That was the first lick. Then he would spank until he was finished. That was 2 or 3 more. Then he would double it just for good measure. And when he got finished spanking, and I could breathe properly again. You know what this is like? I could breathe properly again. He'd wait a minute and he'd say, now, Bill, I'm sure you'll never run in church again. No. If there's a church in heaven, I'm going to walk. I'm not running again in church. And he would say, now this is all over. I never need to say anything to anybody else about it or you. I'm sure you'll be a good boy. And people have said to me, you know, if my father beat me like that, I would hate him until this day. You know, if my father spanked you, you would love him just for quitting. You'd say, this is one of the greatest men on the face of the earth. I'm still alive. And able to grow up and turn out in the way I should go. It'll work. One last thing. Suppose it's not a promise. Suppose it's a general rule. And that generally if we train up children the way they should go, when they're old, they'll still be going that way, generally. But there are exceptions. Okay, I would pray every day, God, please make sure that I'm not the exception. Amen. You can train your children up, and you should. All of us should. I never met my grandfather, but he's had a great influence on my life. His name was William Henry Rice. He had 9 children. The last of those was my father. 2 Bill Rices in the family died at birth, and so, ironically, the youngest child in the family was named after the father. That's kind of unique. So my dad was a junior. He never went by that because grandfather was gone. So there's William Henry Rice the first, William Henry Rice the second. That's my dad. I'm William Henry Rice the third. Will is William Henry Rice the fourth. I know it's boring, people, but it goes on. Will has a son that's in Bible college who is William Henry Rice the fifth. And Wilson, we call him, is 19. And when Wilson gets married, his first child will be William Henry Rice the sixth. Isn't that exciting? I know some of you are thinking, well, Brother Rice, what if his first child is a girl? I don't care. Her name is going to be William Henry Rice the sixth. Now, I'm not talking about greatness here in any of this, but I can tell you this, I believe what my grandfather believed, and I never met him. And I believe it because of my father. And this has been thrilling to me. Will has read everything Dad has written. Will was just a small boy when Dad went to glory. I think he's read about everything Uncle John has written. And Will is nothing if not a stickler for heritage or history. It's just, to me, it's thrilling. And we pray this thing for Wilson and for Wilsina, whatever her name is, when she comes along. I'm not going to give up on the simple truth. If you train up a child in the way he should go, that when he's old, he'll still be going that way.